Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com Analyze Your Trade, episode number 87 for July 30th, 2019. Today, we will be discussing your trade ideas. So over the last few days, about 30 people submitted up to five symbols each, and I put the list together of the top requests, and you should be seeing that on your screen right now while I'm talking. We're going to get through as many of those as we can today. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 4 p.m. Eastern time, but you can also listen to the audio-only podcast version of all episodes on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. So just search for Timing Research and subscribe. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of Timing Research. And today I have arranged for Michael Filigera and Jim Kenny to join us. Michael is having some tech issues, so it might be a couple minutes before he can join us here. But Jim is ready, and I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Okay, thanks, David. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in here today. We're going to go through as many of these stocks as possible. I'll be giving you some chart information as well as my opinion on some of the things that I'm seeing and my views on what I'm seeing as well. So we've got a lot of stocks here, and they all are very interesting. And let's start out with GH. I am going to do a share screen here, and hopefully that will be sharing. There we go. And then you can see an actual graph on what we're talking about as well. All right, there you go. The screen shares up. And we're starting out with Guardant Health, GH. And I thought I had hit the share screen button here. And I'll hit it again. And then I'll hit share. And it doesn't seem to be overriding the current one. Okay, let's get right into it then. I'll show you what I'm seeing, even though I'm not sharing the chart very well with you. Guardant Health, 96.62 today. It's up 4.21%. So obviously, it's got a little bit of a tailwind to it here today. The 52-week high is 106, and the 52-week low is 27. What does that tell you right off the bat? This thing's had a big run. And let's talk about the industry group that it's in, because some of the tech stocks are not doing all that well, but United Healthcare has been doing okay, or it's been improving anywhere. This is in medical equipment and supplies. That's the industry group. And the cautionary flag I have is how far away it is from its 200-day average. The market is trading at 96 and change, right? And the 200-day moving average is at 60. So the difference there is 36 divided into the 60. It tells you that you're 60% above the 200-day moving average. Now, this is a fairly new issue. It just came out at the end of last year. So it's not got a lot of water under the bridge, but it is a company that people are betting on. Their last EPS reports does not show a profit as far as I can see, and they don't pay any dividend. And so there's no PE ratio because it doesn't show a profit. So obviously they have some type of medical equipment or supplies that people believe will be worth quite a bit down the road. And ergo, I'm not an expert on this company, but I would say A, it's in an uptrend. And B, it does look a bit overbought basis its moving average. This area right around 100, which is the 106, was the all-time high reached in March. So we have gone through April, May, June, and July now without making a new high. So there's your line in the sand if you think it has resistance. But this is such a newcomer, and this is on such a run based on obviously future thoughts on the company, future growth. It's hard to quantify what's going on. All you can say, it's had a big run. And if you're in there and you've quadrupled your money, some things that people think about as soon as you double or triple your money is to take your original capital out and then let the rest ride. And then therefore you're looking at a stock, you know, that you don't have any out-of-pocket expense on. That's one thing people do up here. And Michael, you're on track now?
I'm here.
Okay. I didn't do a little quick background on ourselves. I'm Jim Kenny, and I provide the content to optionprofessor.com. And my background is educating people on the uses and risks of options for decades. And Michael Filigera is going to, of Logical Signals, will give a little background on himself right now.
And good afternoon, everybody. I'm so sorry for being late, but Google Chrome is not as friendly as it used to be. In any case, I am basically the owner of Logical Signals.com, but I've been spending more time in my other broader company, which is MGF1 Partners. My background in trading goes back about 40 years. And I am basically, I was an options market maker on the Pacific. I've also traded in Europe and then back again here in the States. I switched over to day trading futures about 5 years ago. And that's mainly been my focus right now because of volatility that is occurring in the markets. And I didn't want to carry overnight positions anymore. So I take advantage of that volatility on a day trading basis.
Okay, sounds great, Michael. Why don't we jump right in? The first one is Guardant Health, GH. It's been around since late last year, it looks like. It's had a very big move to the upside. The 52-week low is 27, and the high has been 106 in March, and now trading up today 4% or better, and it's at 96. What do you see on this stock?
I'm going to try to do a screen share, if I can find it. Screen share. Yes, and I'm going to share it, and... Are you guys seeing it?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay. So Guardant Health, this stock, you're absolutely right. It's still kind of newish. It's been around for maybe about going on 4 years. After making its brilliant high in March, it dipped along with the market, now fighting its way back, but now seems to be stuck to, in my opinion, between about 92 and 98. And it's just been fighting itself in between there for about a week. Now, I think the market does have a chance where it can go up and maybe try to equal the high, but I wouldn't bet too much on that. If you're long the stock, then I think you need to start protecting because I do believe the downside is waiting. And once it gets started, it's going to get pretty ugly. If you're looking to get into this stock, I think that it's sitting too far above the 200-day moving average, at least for my taste right now, and that it's going to correct. And then still, if you're still interested in the stock, then you might want to go ahead and go in it. From what I can tell on earnings reports, it is doing a little bit better, but it's still not making money. So I'm not sure what the estimates are for right now for the next report. But, you know, the reports from 3 years ago, they were losing a lot of money, and then they improved it. And now it's just, we'll have to wait and see. Again, a little bit of upside left, but I think this thing's getting ready to turn around. And if it does, I would highly suspect that it's going to go down and at least test 65.
Yeah, obviously, when you get overbought here, it does tend to come back down, but there's always the exception. And one exception would be Chipotle as an example of a company that's been way above its 200-day average. And not only has it not come down, but it's zoomed up another $100 to the upside. So again, you know, there is no exact science, but there is probabilities. And when we get this extended off the 200-day, the probabilities, in my opinion, is not favorable on an overall basis as far as, you know, it is overbought. But that doesn't mean it has to come down. And again, I use the Chipotle example as a good example on a company that's been very overbought for a long time and has had a very difficult time correcting much at all.
Right. That's true.
All right. Well, let's jump over to the next one, which is COUP. And COUP is
Cooper.
Yeah. And what do you see on that, Michael?
I think for today, most of the things that we're going to be taking a look at are stocks that are very in the stratosphere, as far as I can tell, against all odds, let's say. Now, Cooper Software, again, their product is cloud-based. And I don't see that the stock has done a nice pullback after reaching 148, but it's only dropped $10. $10 on a $150 stock is not very much. Now, I think that this thing continues, at least on a daily basis, to be working its way out of a pretty strong overbought condition. If I move up, and again, are you still able to see my charts?
Oh, yeah. This is perfect. Yeah.
Okay. Then I'm going to go up to the weekly. Let's take a look at the weekly chart. And you're going to see that overbought has just started to dip lower. And again, I use a momentum index, a stochastic momentum, to get a stronger and a better reading of overbought oversold. Because quite often, things are going to stay overbought because the momentum continues to hold it there. But we're starting to see that momentum is backing away. And of course, This week, the stock has started to come down. Now, if I'm taking a look at this, I think first stop for decent normal pullback would be 120, basically 129 down to 119. So you still got that $10 range for where this thing could settle in. If it gets down there and it has relieved the overbought, then I would say, yes, it has a strong chance, provided that the balance of the broader market is also in favor of continuing to move higher versus going through a more protracted or prolonged corrective phase. I don't feel that this company, again, from what I can tell, I don't know what expectations are for this thing, but it's not really putting out great earnings reports. Yes, it's making some money, but per share, I would say that it's hard to support $150 price tag when you're earning 3 cents.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just me. And again, yeah. I would say that this thing continues to move lower. I believe that it's going to find some stiffer resistance at that 148 to 150. But again, it doesn't trade on tremendously high volumes. So back to the daily, I think when I looked before, it was less, it was like 500,000 shares. Well, no, it picked up a little bit more. So about 800,000 shares today, which is not bad. But when you're kind of looking for something that's going to be a little bit more liquid, you're looking for something over a million shares a day trading. So.
On the chart itself, it does look a little bit like a double top. And the fact that it's trading under 140 is not particularly constructive. But you know, rather than fight the tape or do anything with that, if you own the stock, again, if you sell out your original investment, then you're holding on to just free stock. Mm-hmm. And then basically, if you want to hedge it up here, you know, you can take the hedging tactic out of the bag and see if you want to protect yourself a little bit. Because, you know, this is the kind of stock that with this kind of volatility, it could be at $200 in the near future. And it also could have the correction back to either 124, which is your 50-day moving average, or even down to as low as 90 or so, which is your 200-day moving average.
Right.
So with that type of back and forth potential, you know, if you want to do some defensive tactics up here, I don't think anyone would blame you.
I agree. Totally agree with that.
And the first stock pretty much was the same scenario, because it's a company that people are flying into, obviously come line betting that whatever they're talking about the future is going to come into pass. Mm-hmm. And if that in fact does, you know, you'd have to wonder how much is already being discounted because it's had such a big run.
Right.
But the next one is CVX, and that's the oil. And a lot of people are concerned about the oil because the oil companies have been kind of stagnating to fading a bit. And the price of oil, even with the skirmishes in the Strait of Hormuz, doesn't seem to be able to get above 60 yet. So without the oil above 60, 65, a lot of people are starting to be concerned about the oil stocks. What do you think?
I happen to be one of those people that's a little bit concerned about the oil stocks. If I were playing in the oil stocks, if I was long the oil stocks, then I would be even more concerned, because I do think that oil, you know, did its little pop back above 60 when things started to look like they're going to heat up between the UK and Iran and the United States and Iran. And I think that still sits on the back boilerplate at the moment, but it's on simmer versus high boil. So I think that remains out there. But I think that as crude itself, I don't think crude, unless we see some activity that's going to inhibit the production, inhibit the distribution of oil, that I don't see oil prices really continuing to climb. I think that we have a little bit of a glut right now. And if more OPEC members really kind of open those taps and start pushing that through, then we're going to see oil prices, of course, decline. And they could decline substantially. We've seen that there's a lot of volatility in crude oil in terms of price. And so that kind of translates back over here and Chevron, which continues to produce profits. And as I think as long as that happens, shareholders are going to be satisfied to kind of hold it at bay and likely keep it above at least $100. And now whether it's going to continue and try to break back above 130, I don't think that can happen right now, because I think no matter what, if the broader markets are getting ready to head into a corrective phase, then nothing's going to escape that. Everything will go along with it. Now, if there's particular news on the oil sector, on the oil companies, then yes, we're going to get some play in there. But I don't think this is the case here. I think that we're going to continue to see downside. And again, it's having trouble getting itself back up to 128. It's made 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 tries getting it back above 126 and a little bit higher and continues to fail. I think that the stock is more likely going to head at least down to the 120, which is where I have the 200-day moving average, and maybe go down there and test that. It has potential over the mid, a little bit longer term, to get itself down to 114. A break there, all bets are off, and this thing is heading much lower. But I think that it can sit between 114 and 128 and just, bounce in that range for a while.
Yeah.
It already
has. It's at a high point at 135 in 2014. It had a high point of 135 in 2018 early. Mm-hmm. And so it's made another run here when it went up to 128.55. Right. It doesn't seem really to be able to break through. So, if something is not going to be able to go 10 bucks higher, but you are getting paid 383 mm-hmm. on the dividend. But it seems to me that, if you're looking for massive appreciation, unless this oil got above 65.70 and unless this stock gets above 135, it looks like it may have limited upside. So I would be more inclined to stand aside on this until A, it can break through the resistance, or B, oil starts taking off through those numbers. Because otherwise, like I say, that dividend of 3 and change looks good, but a stock can drop 3% pretty fast, and then you're in the soup.
Yeah, and so, but would you agree at the same, if somebody is long the stock and they're collecting that dividend, they still might want to put some form of protection going into their, the treasure box of, what do you want to do? Whatever fits their portfolios, they may want to protect.
Or look in to another investment in the sector that has better setup, maybe. But like I say, it's got the 50-day above the 200-day in the 119, 118 area. So technically, it does look like it's in still pretty good shape. So right now, like I say, you can't say anything negative about it. Basically, holding on to it is probably the most rational thing. And then basically, if you want to see evidence of a turn down, breaks underneath the 118, 119 might be the start of something bigger.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's turn the next guy here, and Starbucks, they had same store sales that were up very strong, and they're getting people to pay $7 for a latte, so that ain't bad. And some people think it might be getting a little rich up here at about 35 PE ratio, but others are saying with same store sales running up and China getting going, maybe it's still got legs. But so far, about $100 has been the limit on the upside, and it's currently at 96.65. So what are you seeing here, Michael, as far as Starbucks?
The gap was pretty nice on earnings. I'm going to go up to the weekly so I can get a little bit longer view. So you can see that this stock on these earnings, on the same store sales kind of coming in, being a little strong for Starbucks, really prompted the market to go up and hit an all-time high. And unless I go up to the monthly and it tells me differently, but I don't think. No, these are all-time highs up here at 99.72. And the market is, of course, kind of coming off of those highs, which is not an unusual thing. Now, if the market continues to drop lower, then we know that it's likely going to attempt to at least refill that gap between what was it, 92 and 95. So that's not all that much downside when you're talking about price, and the stock could drop maybe 3% from here. Is that going to kill it? No. So I think that we could, not even 3%, but we could see that it could come down again, test 90 if it wants to rally. Stock's a little bit overbought. Now, it went up and got that gap on no momentum. Now, here's what this has also got going with it. People tend, or investors tend, to kind of go for future versus historic. So they're betting, they see these earnings come in. Those are now historic. Can the company repeat that? That's what people are going to buy into now. Now, Starbucks, I don't know how far across the country or around the globe they're intending to do it, but in the state of California, and particularly in the San Francisco Bay Area, they're revamping all of their Starbucks shops, and they're kind of trying to move into the Next Realm hire and kind of be specialty type places to come in, hang out, and get your coffee. And it's exactly what you said, Jim, that people are paying $7 for a latte. That's what they're doing in these high-end shops that they're revamping, just the regular old Starbucks. And they're even changing the name. They're going to be Starbucks something. And now I can't remember. But that's what I would, if I was thinking of buying into Starbucks, I would not do it here. I would wait for it to pull back. And I would want to see some evidence that the buying public, the Starbucks public buyer, is okay going into their reserve type of establishments, putting down more money to have a nicer look and supposedly better coffee. They're also dropping the ability to go into a Starbucks shop and buy a pound of, their coffee. They're switching those all out and putting in more of their reserve stock. So I think that the evidence is still out in terms of whether it's going to be successful, this transition, or just really bad timing and coming out when the market is basically at the top, and we'll see. But I think right now, I'm not a buyer. I think that there's a high chance it's going to come down and at least refill that gap, and then we'll take it from there. But downside, the stock has at least, I think, down to 83 before I would even start to look interested.
Yeah, and that's a pretty big size drop, but it is almost 40% above its 200-day average. Like many stocks, because we didn't get to almost 3,100 here by stocks not going up. So, you know, the fact that these things have had a big advance is really not too shocking because, again, the indexes have also had a big advance. The next one here is going to be called Beyond Meat, BYND. And what do you think about this one? It's down 12% today. They announced they're going to be putting out another 3.5 million shares, which I guess increases the float, which makes it easier to short, and it makes people feel better about shorting it up here in the stratosphere. So what are you thinking here?
The question I would ask is kind of, it would be for you. I don't know what the quiet period is here. Now, remember, this stock just came public in May, beginning of May. So I sit there and go like, what's the quiet period? So they're already going to issue some additional shares, which is, of course, you know, going to expand the liquidity for the number of shares and expand the float. And yes, that would drive the price down, number one. Number two, their earnings were not so stellar yesterday. They're not making money yet. Now, maybe they have the prospect, and there's all this stuff about they're going into what, Taco Bell or something. Somebody's picked up these vegan alternatives. And I don't know. I think the stock is incredibly overpriced. I think the stock is way above the 200-day, even though it's a newer 200-day. Somebody just reported, because the NASDAQ just went from 79.76 to 79.55, back to 72, back to 76. So somebody's reported, and I'm not sure who it was.
Well, Apple was the record, yeah.
Apple's reporting. Yay, Apple. We've been waiting for you. And the stock is flying. It's trading 214. In any case, back to Beyond. I think it's hype. One thing that I really want to make clear and make sure that people understand, Beyond Meat is a huge algorithmic firm trading instrument. The trading firms that do everything electronically and all by algorithms love this stock because of its volatility. And so, and the options trade extremely heavily. And I can put this on real quick and just show you, we might as well, since it's just the two of us and we have a little bit of time. You can see that the volatility here, these August 2nd options expire Friday, trading on a volatility of 96%. Below that, they're trading on a volatility of 82, 83, 80. These are very high volatilities, and they trade. These options trade. The stock volume is 18 million. If you're an option trader or if you are just a day trader, this is your number one. You want stocks like this. But as an investor, I would stay away from it, unless you've got a cast iron stomach. Then you're going to be okay. I think that this stock could easily lose way more than 12% in a day.
Yeah. Well, like I say, it seems to be more of a technical thing with the float than it is on the actual company, but we'll have to see. Right now, WDAY, Workday.
Huh? Yeah, another one that, wow. I'm going to interject something here and basically just say, here we have another company that's been around for 6 years. And it's, I believe what they do is they provide space for people to come in and work, I believe. And in any case, I think that so many stocks, it reminds me of 1999 going into 2000, just before the dot-com bubble burst. Now, I know we can make a lot of comparisons, but this is what I have to compare against today, when we still are continuing to see a lot of internet-based companies and cloud-based companies that are soaring. I mean, above $200 is, to me, amazing. And again, I don't know what their float is, so I'm looking at it going like, yeah, they're making some money, but it's not like they're making money hand over fist, but maybe they are. Stock was down 3% today. I'm looking at the daily on the chart pattern. You think you got to leave room for downside down to 190? If it gets down there, maybe does a little kiss and run on the 200-day, then I think it'll start to rally again. On my daily, on the momentum continues to point lower. So again, I think, yeah, it could drop down towards 190 and then maybe take a second look and see what position it's in versus the market and go from there.
Yeah, it seems to be possibly range bound between the high of 226 and the 200-day average of 180. And maybe it will meander between those two points as it tries to figure out where the real next move is. From what my numbers are showing, this is a company that's losing money. So obviously, this is another one, and many, many out there, where people are discounting future possibilities. Now, like I say, you can't fight the tape. So, you can't badmouth something just because it's gone from $100 to 200 and change. But you do have to acknowledge, if you don't own it at all, that it is a little rarefied air based on what we know. And also, if you do own it, again, if you can get your share, your initial capital out of it and have a free look at it, that's not the worst thing to end up with some of these things. Yes, if they keep going, you won't make as much money. But if for whatever reason it rolls over, at least you know your original capital's off the table.
Right. I agree.
Next one is S&P 500. Let's take a look at the S&P 500 here, because I think that's what this one is. SPY?
Spiders. Yeah, it's the spider. So,
what are you seeing on the spider right now?
I see the spiders fighting tooth and nail to stay above the S&P above 3,000 and for the spiders above 300. I think that the market is, again, this thing goes up and makes an all-time. Now go down and look at my stochastic here. This is when it popped and made a new high at 302.23. Where was the momentum? Here was the momentum peak previously. So they're pushing it up. Now, again, we have to also consider it is the summer. I think this year, and you might agree, Jim, that we're having more of a typical summer market in terms of volumes. We're seeing things get pushed around on way less volume than if everyone was participating in the market. So I do contribute some of that, lack of oomph, so to speak, on a push to new highs, on the fact that there's fewer players out there. Everybody's kind of taking some time off and vacation. I think that overall, the markets are topping. And I think that we're really setting ourselves up for a more sustained, damaging, corrective phase. Where it's going to stop, I don't know. I just see all the signs stacking up against it. And now I see that our markets tend to kind of just sit in these little bit of tighter ranges, maybe go make another new little high, sit in a tight range. So nobody's really willing to push in either direction. And that to me is the danger signal. And I'm looking for some more severe downside. So there are too many factors out there that we could talk about that would create it, but I'm looking for a corrective phase. And I think the initial drop will take this particular market back below 275.
Yeah. Like I say, you can't fight the tape. And the tape has been moving higher. So again, we just made a new high last week at 30.27 on the future or on the SPX. Yeah. And so this week it's had a hard time taking out that number. So right now, that number is kind of established. And if by the end of next week we don't take it out and then we close under 29.50, then and the VIX can get above 17. Those are the three things that I'd like to see before I started talking negatively about something that's been making new highs and weekly highs week over week. Because pin the tail of the donkey when you're in uncharted territory is an expensive game to play.
It is an expensive game to play. I agree. But I think that they're comes a time when as an analyst, it's like, does this have potential to go to 305, 310? It absolutely does. But I think that, like we have been saying, I think it's also fair to add to the conversation, no, you don't want to fight the tape, but you don't want to be entering now.
Well, I don't know if you want to be entering now, because again, you know, you are looking at a situation that's been making higher highs, and any correction that it's had has been short-lived, if it had any. And so the power of this thing certainly is there. And again, there's a couple of things keeping people on the sideline. One is the trade situation, and the other is what's this Fed, not only what the move is going to be, but obviously what the statement is after they make the move. And I'm sure people will make a much larger decision. But like I say, selling something that made its 52-week high at 302 at 300 certainly doesn't have a whole lot of price evidence on why you should be doing it. You have to recognize, obviously, that the market is way away from its moving average on most of the stocks we're talking about and on the S&P. Right. But that by itself is certainly not a lone wolf. Again, you have to stop making new highs before you can have a correction. And it just made an all-time high last week. So bottom line, a little more water under the bridge. And the VIX is, well under the 17-15 area where, you know, obviously is a better area for it to be if you're looking for a correction. Looking for a correction at 12 is sometimes a rough racket.
I agree. And I think that one thing that I will add is that, you know, whatever's going to precipitate that corrective phase is going to be a shock. It's going to come as a shock and it's going to happen quick. And so we all can sit and say, well, we don't want to fight the tape because the markets continue to make new highs. But I think if we took a look as to why it's making the new highs, what's really behind it and pushing it up, then I think we start to kind of smooth things out and realize that, yeah, it is continuing to make new highs. But if I've been sitting in the spiders from 235 and it's now sitting above 300, I want to be looking at some things that I can do to continue to participate or really try to do some analysis on what is the potential for a much, much stronger move up higher. And that's where Fibonacci numbers kind of come into play. And if you know about Fibonacci, then I suggest you can run them and you can project higher numbers and then look at the reality of whether the market is capable of getting itself there. To your point, Jim, the market has obviously shown its capability of getting it up there. But put it all together, that's not a bad volume that you've got on SPX there. But I'd be looking, I don't know. My radar's out there going like, I don't know about this. But in any case.
Yeah, no. Hey, listen, any rational person, when you get the moving averages way underneath the market like it is now, obviously would say that the market may be vulnerable.
Right.
Having said that, you generally look for some price action to confirm it. Obviously, stopping making new highs is step one. And if you don't stop making new highs, obviously talking bearish is silly. Now, the second thing is getting the VIX into an area where a correction generally comes from, and that's where the 15-17 on the VIX comes in.
Right.
Reality is that a few years back, we hit a high point of around 2,800, and then we've had a double high here at around 2,950. And so if you're just a holder of the index since around 2018, so the last 2 years, you know, getting to be 2 years, it's up about 4% from the high point. And in the last year, it's up, 2% from its high point. So if you're a holder of the stock through the ETF, your high equity mark is not exactly blown through the roof. Now, you know, again, the president does sound like he wants interest rates to go down towards zero like Japan and Europe. And it does sound like he wants the market to go up like a rocket. So obviously he is in the administration. And obviously you have to respect when he makes those comments that this thing could go to 3,500 or 4,100 over time if the main goal is asset bubble. And, you know, with a guy trying to get elected next year and being totally married to the stock market being his report card, you can't underweight that. And so that's why, you know, you don't want to get too bearish until you have some evidence because, you know, where this thing could go if they go back to, QE or something. And if, in fact, the interest rates are so low that a multiple of 20 or 22 or higher is acceptable, then the ceiling can be a lot lot different than what it is. So, you know, there's so many factors that go into play, but you cannot underestimate when the person who is running the country clearly has showed his hand that he wants rates to get down so he can be competitive. He wants the dollar to tank so he can be competitive. And he wants the stocks to go way up so he can run on, obviously, look at the great job I've done. Look how much money you've made with me.
And I think that's the key that you just said right there. It's his ego. And I think if we really, as investors, as market players, if I'm going to be buying the S&P because we have somebody in the White House saying, I want lower rates, I'll fire Powell and I'll put somebody in that I want so they'll do what I want. It's like, and then besides that, get an economic advisor that doesn't have a history that their claim to fame is being on CNBC. I want somebody that actually understands. I would like to hear.
Yeah, but what we want and what's happening is two different things. Obviously, if you ask Jeff Sessions and Dan Coats, can you get fired by Donald Trump? You'll hear the answer. And he may not be able to fire Powell, but he could demote him and put in some guy as he's putting in all his own guys. We're not in the business of, you know, trying to change the world. We're in the business of trying to figure out where the economic landscape is going to go. And again, from the top, he wants these rates way down. He wants this dollar way down so he can compete against countries who have weakened their dollar and have no interest. And then, of course, he uses the word take off like a rocket. And I believe that's what he wants the market to do. So you got to be a little careful about getting too negative, particularly on a longer term basis, when you know the guy who's driving the bus has these objectives.
True. I agree.
But like I say, in the short run, if you get evidence of a turndown, and like I say, my best evidence will be a break under 29.50 and a VIX above 17. And those numbers could rise as time goes by, you know, or if you're the kind of guy who likes to trade against a point, see if you can make a weekly high and surround it around some lower weekly highs and then use that point as a point to trade against. But right now, you know, 30.27 just happened and, you know, there's not much of a point to trade with any water under the bridge. But, you know, like you say, I think the volume is pretty light because people are waiting to make a decision on things. These guys come back from China with no progress. Whatever Powell says, if it's not real dovish, you know, you could get the max to light the correction candle. No doubt, you know, because again, bad news out of the trade talks and a Powell that says, hey, this thing's way too strong. You guys are thinking about three cuts this year. You're smoking dope and it's just not going to happen. 3.7 employment, 2.1 on the GDP is not the time for me to start throwing all our excess money around so that when a real drop happens, I got no money to work with.
True.
So we'll know a lot more. We'll know a lot more by tomorrow when he comes out with his statement and how the market takes his statement. Let's move forward here. Is this BOX next one?
Yes, Box.
And BOX is Box, and this is not one that I'm really too familiar with. So take it away and tell me why Box at 1682 is a buy, sell, or hold.
Again, I'm not real familiar with it either. So on a purely chart basis, I'm going to say reached its low after reporting earnings the beginning of June. So it's going to be late in the cycle to report again. And then it did a little bit of rally. Now it's coming back down again. It's well below the 200-day moving average. And I was just showing the monthly chart, and it's below the 200-day moving average on the monthly chart as well. Now, this is not a real big player. Again, 745,000 shares on the day. On these bigger days, then you're seeing like 18 million. So it had a big turn. It's produced some nasty gaps, I guess, on expectations not being met. And it's kind of just a really sloppy chart. Now, I'm going to take this up, see if I can make some sense out of it on a weekly. Weekly's a little bit clearer in that it's got additional downside, and it looks like it's doing at least another few larger moves down. But how far down can it afford? Well, we see that back in April of 2016, this hit a low at $8.82. It has certainly got the capacity and the ability to go down and do that again. First stop, though, I think they're going to at least find some support at 1522. I don't see upside in this puppy at the moment, other than, you know, you get a little day up here, a little day up there, but the trend continues, as you can see, to be down. And you can just draw a trend line right off of these particular highs, and it continues to point lower.
Let's try to do this, because we're into the last 10 minutes or so. Let's get through as many as possible and just be, buy, sell, or hold as an opinion or as a view, and get an idea. The next one is Zen, Z-E-N, because there are some stocks at the end that many will think are more involved than others. And let's just see if we can get to as many as possible. So the first next one is Zendesk. It had a 52-week low of 45, and it's almost on its on its 52-week high. So we're talking, the 52-week low to the high is about double. So this is another one that people have been in, and they've made a pretty good run out of it. What do you think?
If you're a long-term holder, hold it. Otherwise, sell.
Yeah. And the way I would say is, again, going back to what I would be looking at on many of these things that have run through the roof, if you can take your original capital off and hold on to basically free stock, that might not be a terrible thing to do. All right. The next one up is Netflix. That has rolled over a bit. And, competition, and expenses are the two main stories, it looks like. Yeah. So what are you thinking on Netflix?
I actually like it, but I think that I would hold. And also, if you're a very short-term player, I would look to put on some puts, because I think there's additional downside. But I like Netflix.
Yeah, it definitely has rolled over a bit from 386 to 325, but it hasn't totally collapsed. So obviously, it's still got a very, very big franchise going for itself. So again, maybe a little protection, or see if you can buy it against some of the support. And again, you can see the support is well underneath, but at least maybe there's a gap at 300 that might get hit, huh?
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Switching to the next guy. It's ADM. Mosaic came out and made some good earnings. ADM, supermarket to the world. Let's see what they look like. They're at 40.95, pretty much closer to the low. The grain situation this year is weird.
I'm straight off a pattern. If you're a really long term, you're going to hold and continue to accumulate on down moves. Otherwise, if you're a short term player, sell it. If you're a short term option player, buy some puts and sell some call spreads.
Yeah, this could get affected if we ever get a China deal and they ever actually do what Trump says they agreed to do, which is buy a bunch of grain. Somebody's got, there must be a communication problem there, because he keeps saying they're going to buy it and then nobody sees any orders. How about KGC, Kinross? So this is gold, probably been on the bicycle pretty good. Question is where are we on the bicycle? And this is one that's very interesting to me, because obviously it's under $5, so it's pretty cheap. And of course, it has had a good size run up. Again, it has had a very big run up, not a double, but it's gone up quite a bit.
And I think
Kinross Gold.
Kinross, I would continue to hold the stock, but I'm buying puts.
Yeah. In other words, if you got in there already, you buy some puts, or if you buy the stock now and buy a put, it'll put some extra expense on your stock, but at least if it does fall out of bed, you'll be able to have some kind of a put offset there.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's definitely what we could see. Again, this is the weekly chart now, and I'm going to skip back down to the daily. Same picture.
Yeah. Like I say, a lot of these stocks have had a big run, so sideways or a pullback is a probability at that point.
Right.
But, if you're a believer like Tudor Jones is, we're going to 1700 or better in the next year or two, then this baby should be able to profit from that, but only time will tell. Well, I'm not an expert there on mechanics. But.
One last thing that I will add for Kinross. If you are playing Kinross because it is a gold producer, they're a mining company, please go and find out what price gold has to be at per ounce for this company to make money. It's going to be different for all of the different miners.
Right, and you may investigate other mining shares that have a little better story than this one.
Right, exactly.
All right, let's hit the Bristol-Myers Squibb, which is a very popular stock, but it has been hit hard. It's gone from 63 on its 52-week high down to a 52-week low of 42, and it's hanging on there at 44, and today wasn't a good day. So what are you thinking here?
On my daily chart, I say the stock goes back above 46, maybe gets to 47-ish. and then does another pullback. But I like the stock. I like it. I think that 4248 should hold, and I would be a buyer. I'd be a buyer on pullbacks. I are adding to my position on pullbacks, and I'd be looking for at least another run up, another smaller corrective phase, like back down to 44 if it makes it up to 47 or so. And then I think this thing really starts to take off again, has a strong probability or a strong chance of getting at least back up to the 200 on my chart is sitting at the 49.17 or back above 50. Now,
a lot of people are saying that these are the kind of companies that if we're going to go from 3,000 to 3,200, 3,400, these are the ones that may get the bid and not the FANG stocks and not those type of companies.
Right.
And again, one of the reasons might be is people look at a chart and they go, it used to be at 70 and now it's at 40 and the company is worth $74 billion and I'm only paying 11.7 PE ratio and I'm getting paid almost 4% dividends. So I'm getting $3.68 dividend to watch a movie on a company that we know has been around forever. And we know it's on the defensive as far as the amount of, as far as the share price is concerned. Right. And we know not overpaying for it on a PE ratio now. So I can see the story making some sense because, you know, they're saying that some of these companies may get the bid as opposed to the FANGs if we have another leg up.
And all I think I'm just going to add, that's a very, very strong point that you just made. And I hope people are really taking that to heart. Don't go after the darlings of the market. Take a look at these companies that have also been around and they're pharmaceutical. Go look and see what they're working on, where their phase three trials, what are they in? A lot of them are coming up with a lot of new medications for cancer treatments, for different treatments of life-threatening illnesses. And that's where I would rather sit than in, is Netflix going to have the greatest show and win all the Emmys this year?
Right.
Nothing against Netflix. I like them. But here is something that's more grounded in my estimation in real reality.
Right. Well, this next one is Intuitive Surgical. It's had a nice run. Again, this is more of a higher flyer in the medical equipment supplies area, which we saw. I think first stock GH was in the same business, and that had a big run. So this guy here, you know, it's been all between 450 and 600 for the last year and a half, or a year anyway. And so you're looking at a company that certainly gives you volatility if you sell it into strength, buy weakness, sell it into strength, buy weakness, and right now it's smack in the middle. So, you know, 450, 600, and you're at 532. You're right on the median here, and might be a hard play to make a decision, but it does look like it's trying to turn up.
Right. Now, being, you know, I always keep my eye on an Intuitive Surgical because they are the front runner in that optic surgical equipment where they're kind of going in and it's a camera and it's guiding into delicate areas of the brain and delicate areas of the body. And they have had a lot of success in that area. Now they're very successful. And Jim, if you could take a quick look, I see, you know, what they're paying in terms of a div. Do you see that by any chance?
Let me just double check. I switched over to GDX. Give me a second.
Okay.
We will get GDX. I don't think this company pays anything. I don't think these guys pay anything.
Oh.
I mean, with that kind of volatility, I don't think they pay anything. Yeah, they don't pay any dividend. The P ratio is 52. P ratio 52. You're generally not returning much money to the
If you're a big, if you've got a big account and you're a big player and you like the stock, I would say that you buy it and you hold and learn how to trade options to protect positions going in both directions.
Yeah,
and
that volatility, I'd imagine the premiums are quite large.
Yeah. And so you're going to want to be a seller in the options. So, act accordingly with the price.
All right, let's just close out here. Let's close out real quick with GDX. My opinion is it's a hold. And if it pulled back towards 25 or so, it would be an add. But I'm a believer that, what they're trying to do, in my view, which is bring the dollar down, bring rates down, and get the stock market to rocket. Gold believes that that's going to be a little bit disruptive. And obviously, I've been liking this thing since 17. And then when it got above 20 was an add. And then above 23 was an add. And then it's a hold. And then you might get a pullback. And I'm getting 25. 64 number from the gap that's there that maybe they'll go down and get. But if they don't, if you hold on to what you got and it goes up further, you'll be okay. That's pretty much what I'm seeing. What do you see, GDX?
Pretty much exactly the same. I think that gold, more people need to pay attention to gold and the message that it gives when it rallies and the prices, et cetera, because there are a lot of factors and you just mentioned them. Now, I think this has a little bit of a pullback, but I think it's going to go up and make a new high above where it just was. So it's going to go above 28, likely first. And all we need is another good day of rally in gold, and I think it'll pop and get there. And then, like you said, I think we can get a decent pullback. And that one area is going to be right here where it is, depending on how far it gets above it. But I would look for 27. If it got down to 24, load up.
Yeah. I mean, you've got a situation where you've got, they want the dollar down. They want the interest rates down. They just raised the debt ceiling and don't have to revisit it for 2 years, which means they got open bar for 2 years in Washington as far as spending. And, you know, if you add all those things up, in my view, it's hard to trade the gold anywhere but from the upside. Anyway, with regards to, we're shutting down now. So, Michael, you're going to give a quick background again or how to get a hold of you. And if you have any special offers, why don't you let people know how to get a hold of you?
Unfortunately, I don't have any special offers at the moment. I'm still trading futures and I am working together with a previous member of my own trade room. Now she has her own. It's Candlelight Trading and you can reach us through candlelighttrading.com. Check out the trade room. It is a place where we're not huge, we're small. So there's a lot of individualized attention being given to traders that are coming in. We are day traders. We're day trading the futures. So we're not necessarily carrying overnight. We're definitely not carrying overnight positions, but that doesn't mean that somebody else could not. If you would like to get a hold of me because you want some information on trading options or you want some information on trading futures, et cetera, Michael@LogicalSignals.com will get to me or Michael@MJF1Partners.com. And I will receive that and I will always respond.
Okay. That's great, Michael. And people try to take advantage of that. My view on the stock market, you know, is basically 2,350 up to 2,750 was the first leg. Above 2,800 gave you the second leg. And then basically right now between 2,950 and 3,100 is the area where I think it's very smart to protect yourself. And so basically, you know, did the market peak this month in July or will it peak in August? I don't really care because by September and October, which seasonally are terrible months, I think the market will have a correction. So learning how to protect or hedge yourself now and in August may be very helpful to you come September and October, where the seasonal thing could kick in a little bit, particularly if we're any more extended than we are now. So go to optionprofessor.com, get the podcast that I give every week. You can go get the link and you can attend every week and find out what I'm thinking. Also, if you have any specific questions on hedging or what I'm thinking as far as timing is concerned, shoot an email over to optionprofessor@gmail.com and I'll give you a hand. Thank everybody for being here today. And I hope you guys took some information away that will be helpful. And again, I'm going to swing it back to David and he'll take it from here.
All right. Thanks, guys. Great discussion. So just a quick reminder for everyone watching, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to the recording of this or any past shows. And I just want to thank my guests again for today, Michael Filiguera of LogicalSignals.com and Jim Penny of OptionProfessor.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.